This year, our brother Eddie picked the Apostles' Creed for us as a staff to consider, and the every staff now has been looking at that in their morning times together. And I decided as well to I like to follow along with those themes that are given to us, and so I've just put together something for us to study while we're here at camp these 2 weeks. And it doesn't follow the creed line by line as you have in your staff book, but it looks at the different persons of the Trinity. I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, or I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. And so as we gather here in the mornings, we'll consider those things. Now, it's a little bit hard. You can imagine I tried to think of three scripture passages for God the Father and three for God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And so I probably, you might say, well, I would have chosen this passage instead. But I'd like us this morning just to just take a look at Isaiah 40. And as I said the other night, I hope you have a pen. If you don't have a pen, I have some pens. Now, maybe before we read Isaiah, just take a look at the booklet that you have. And on the back, we have the creed. Maybe we'll read that together to begin. But I also included, just chose some articles for us to consider. If you open right to the middle, you'll see there's an article by Brother Gordon Gardner. Does anybody know who Brother Gordon Gardner is? Brother Fogle spoke of him. He's the one that rolled up his tie and told him he shouldn't go to Coney Island. And maybe I'll roll up your tie and tell you don't go to Lake George. No. But Brother Gordon Gardner was his picture is in the back there in that room, and his wife as well. And on the front of the wall when you come into camp, there's a plaque. They were our camp directors for 40 years almost. Yeah. Almost 40 years. So thank God for men and women who have blazed the path for us and shown us the way. And so there's an article by him, The Great Promises of God. There's an article by Alexander White. Anybody know him? I never met him, though. Did you meet him, Brother Paul? And then there's something about Billy Borden. Do you know who that was? Billy Borden, yeah. You've heard his story? So I've heard his story before. I never had put it down in print for you to have it, but I wanted you to have it. All right. So just wanted to, and again, this is for you, and we maybe we'll read some of these articles together at some point. But let's just turn to the back now, and maybe we ought to stand, and we'll read together the creed. It's on the back of your book here. Ready? Together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the God the Father Almighty, whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Growing up, we never, I don't think I ever recited the creed. It just wasn't something I don't think we did. And I maybe understand the reasons why, or have an idea, but I don't think I was not taught the creed. I think everyone who attends a church where the Bible is preached is taught the truths that the creed contains. It's interesting, our brother last night, he said, our life is more than a creed. Did you hear that? I heard that. Our life is more than a creed. It's not just the fact that I can say this creed or recite it or every Sunday stand up. Maybe some people know it by heart, and that may be good. That's good and well. But I know whom I have believed. You see, and the creed points me to one, a God who loves me, a God who gave himself for me, who sent his son, a God who is with me now. And so we want to consider that these truths in that light, that it's something real to me. It's not just a credo, so to speak, or something that I say that I believe, but it's something that impacts my life. It brings me into relationship to the Lord Jesus. There was a little saying I put in, well, if you open up to the first lesson, the great creator, on the opposite page, there's a little quote by Sister Robinson that says this, all the truths of the Bible are but pathways to the feet of Jesus. And so as we study the Bible, it's not necessarily to gain knowledge alone. Knowledge is not the end of our Bible study. It's to know him. It's to get acquainted with him. It's to know the one who wrote this book, who gave this book to us. And everything we study will be from God's word. This is his word to us. It's for you. It's for me. And as we read it, he wants to speak to us. We want to hear his voice. In every line that we sing, making each faithful saying mine, more and more about Jesus. And so we begin with this chapter in Isaiah. And I'd like, as we read it together, just for you to note, we don't have a lot of time this morning, so just make a mental note as we read. Maybe you want to even, you know, just jot down the verses. Let's see what this chapter says or tells us about God. God the Father. I found there's probably more than those little bullets that you have there, but at least that many. And the way we like to read in the mornings, or I like to read with you, is we'll each read a verse, because sometimes we have all different translations. And so this morning we'll start with Chuck. Does anybody not have a Bible with pages? Jonathan, okay, so Jonathan, I'll give you the luxury of having your phone out. It's funny, someone I thought someone was texting or doing something in church the other day, and I said something to them afterwards, and they said, No, I was just, that's my Bible. I said, okay. Now I know. Was that you, Brittany?
Yeah, it was.
It was you? All right. So go ahead, Chuck. You start. Yes, I'm sorry.
Before we start, could you clarify the aspect of the Holy Catholic Church?
Yes.
Some might not understand what that's all about.
Yes. Brother Fogel had it right last night when he said, this is a Pentecostal camp. And I'll say that. Thank you, Brother Fogel. Catholic, what does it mean? All of you.
Universal,
right? You've been here before. You've heard that. It's universal. And so we're part of something that's bigger than our little local church. Right? We read that in Hebrews, I believe it's the 12th chapter, that we're part of this large assembly of saints. And there the writer even indicates that, you know, we're connected with those who are in heaven already. You know, we're part of this great church, and it's universal. That's what the word Catholic means. All right? So it's Catholic with a small c. And that's maybe why, when I said at the beginning we didn't recite the creeds, I think that we've tried to stay away from anything that's formal in that sense. You know, we want to be free in the Spirit, and we want God to lead us, and we don't want to just say things because we say it. Maybe you've heard people recite the Lord's Prayer, and they can do it in 23 seconds or less, you know, just out of rote, because that's the way it's been. Thank you, brother, for that point. All right, any other comments on that? Now, that's not to say that if you've been to a Catholic Mass, it's full of the Word of God. And I don't mean to downgrade or There have been many saints who have come from the Catholic Church and who really know the Lord. But we want to be led by the Spirit, and we want God to have His way. And it's been a precious time here. I appreciate it when people contribute in the meetings. And I think maybe you've noticed that. I use the word participation, right? At the beginning, we want to participate. But I hope you've seen that as people just give themselves to the Spirit of God, how God is able to work and just bless all of us. And so if you feel led, as you've been encouraged to sing or to, I'm going to ask you to contribute this morning. Let's do that with the idea that I'm blessing the body of Christ. Isaiah 40, verse 1.
Comfort ye, my people, saith your God.
You ready?
Speak ye comfortably in Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins.
Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God.
Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth.
And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people who see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
The voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field.
The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass.
The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of the good news. Lift up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God.
Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him.
He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have known.
Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth, or has weighed out the mountains and the hills?
Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as his counselor?
With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding?
Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing.
Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor is animals enough for burnt offerings.
Before him all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing.
To whom then will he liken God, or what likeness will he compare unto him?
An idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold, and casts for it silver chains.
He then is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot, and seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved.
Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth?
It is he that stricken upon the circle of the earth, he that inhabitants thereof are of the grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens of curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in.
He brings the princes to nothing, he makes the judges of the earth useless.
No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows on them and they wither, and the whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff.
To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One.
Lift up your eyes and look. to the heavens, who created all these. He who brings out the starry host up one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is discarded by my God?
Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an eternal God, the creator of the whole earth. He does not get tired or weary. There is no limit to his wisdom.
He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak.
Even youth grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall.
But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk.
Praise God. The one thing I noted right at the top of the list was found in verse 8. What does it say there about our God? Yes. That book that you hold in your hand, the Word of God, will stand forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. Hallelujah. And so again, this is the basis for our faith. God's word. What else did you find there? Quickly. Who has one?
Eternal God is thy refuge. We have that first period. Those were in every word.
Praise God. So he's the eternal God. Not bound by time. Always, was, always, is, always, will be the eternal God. And he is our refuge. All right, someone else.
Unlimited wisdom.
Yes, he has. No one can teach God. Isn't that what it says? Who can understand his mind? No one. Unlimited wisdom. Something else.
He is coming. Verse 10, behold, the Lord your God. And the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him.
Okay, again, he's powerful, right? All powerful. We have those omni words about God. What are they?
Omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient.
Very good. Say it again.
Me?
Yes.
Omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, and I just forgot the third one. Omnipotent, omnipotent, and
present.
Omnipresent.
Omnipresent. He's everywhere. All right?
I forgot the second time around.
Thank you, Chuck.
The Word of God stands forever, but NIV leaves out some scripture, and then certain translations lead you in different directions. So you have to take that into account when you
were reading.
A person starting out, and then read NIV and go, how come that's not in there?
Okay, it doesn't change God's Word, though, right?
No,
His
it's
Word.
It's not in there. Yeah. Well, the Word has been changed, and right. You go to your left field instead of right field.
Okay, no problem. Thank you, brother. Someone else. What does it tell us about God?
He will not grow weary or tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom.
Amen. Amen. He does not grow weary. Amen. Hallelujah.
He calls them all by name.
What does he call my name?
All of his sheep.
The sheep. Yes, in John 10 we read he knows each sheep and he calls them.
Verse 28 is the creator. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, that's another attribute, the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth.
It's interesting, there's verses there that talk about him sitting on the circuit. Is that what it says? The circuit or the circle of the earth? So God knew that the world was round. Mm-hmm. I think, right? Think so? Before they discovered that, he knew. He knew. Anyone else?
He's alive.
He's alive? He's not an idol. He's not some tree that Brother Tom carved into an idol, right? Well, it says skilled craftsman, Brother Tom. It's a compliment, beloved. I'm trying to compliment you. Right. Oh, thank you, dear God. All right, let's just look now in closing at that last section, because, again, this great creator, you know, we sing that. Trying to think. Oh, that's my dad's song, right? Oh, how I love him. How I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. So he is that great Creator, and yet he comes, he condescends to us. And these beautiful verses at the end, he gives strength to the weary. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. You see the verses that go before says, Israel was complaining, God, you don't know my situation. You know, you're overlooking my need. You don't see what's going on in my life. And what does God say? Why do you complain? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. There's nothing that has been created that's beyond what he did. He's created everything. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Is that true? Have you found that to be so? Anyone here not get weary? Anyone always full of strength? Well, what's the secret? Those that wait. Those that put their hope in him. Those that are looking to him for everything. They are the ones that will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Hallelujah. The idea of in that word renew is to exchange. What do I bring to God? I bring him my weakness. I bring him my utter helplessness. And what does he give me? He gives me his strength. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The one who lives within me is the mighty God, the great Creator. And all God's fullness dwells in him, and he is in me. It's beyond our comprehending. How could we truly understand that? But the Holy Spirit makes these things ours, makes it real to us. And so when we think of the heavens that he has made, you know, just take a look at the stars some night. Countless, countless stars. Now who put them there? God did. God did. Here at camp, we can look around at the mountains and the lakes and all the wonderful things that God has made. But have you ever taken the time to look at the person next to you? And say, what a marvelous creation of God. Yuri is. Yes, yes. But I mean, can you imagine? Who could make something like you? Only God. Only God. And he's the God who made us, but he's also the God who carries us in his arms. Like a shepherd. He gently leads those that are young. And so there's this just wonderful, wonderful picture of God that we find here in Isaiah 40. But I'd like us to take for these days these words, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Because there's a good chance that your strength is going to fade at times. Our natural strength, I mean, right? We get tired. And there are times when we get weary in spirit. But they that wait upon the Lord will renew. There's that exchange. My poor helplessness for His life. And He comes to me, and He quickens me, and He restores me, and He strengthens me with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And so let's take His strength. Let's learn to wait upon Him, to look to Him. The NIV says to put our hope in Him. Let's spend time just receiving from Him. And it's something that we need to do often, you know, in the midst of the work, so to speak. Right? I mean, Johanna, you don't want any of the girls to leave because they're tired, right? They have to finish their job, right? Right. And so how do we do that? Well, we look up to Him and we say, Lord, I need Your strength. I take Your strength. I receive Your life. Let's just bow our hearts and our heads before God. Brother Paul, would you pray with us, please?
Lord, we thank You that You have everything that we need, and You have the strength for us that we don't even realize that we need, perhaps. You have the strength to guide us through every day and every obstacle. And we look to You this very day, this morning, to receive from You Your
yes,
help.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
We thank You that You are a gracious God, and You are there to stoop down and see us in our need and help us. And so we thank You for that. We thank You that we can wait upon You, that You draw us unto Yourself. And we pray that You will do that this day in a great measure, Lord. Draw us, each one of us here, nearer to Your heart.
Yes, Lord.
We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's just take our white books and we'll sing number 51. We can stand as we sing.
to be thine. Sin with its follies I gladly resign. All of its pleasures, pomp and its pride, give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. Give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. Nearer still, nearer, while life shall last, till safe in glory my anchor is cast. Through endless ages, ever to me, nearer my Savior, still nearer to thee, nearer my Savior, still nearer to thee.
Amen. Now that was our closing prayer. Let's take that with us throughout this day. Lord, draw me nearer. I want to walk with you. God bless you.